can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came.
Amen. Think about it. Praise the Lord. Never go back. You know, when I went to that altar that day in the Baptist church, that was it. You know, once you go forward, you know, you don't look back. Like Jesus said, once you put your hands in that plow, you bolt it, you know, like I did. And once I got there, the word stayed behind. Amen. And I swore not to go back again. Not because of my strength, not because of my will or anything, just because God got hold of me. I didn't get hold of God. And you know, he will not, never let you go. And I was counting on that. See? So, I will never go back to the way it used to be. Now I say yes to his will. I say yes to his word. I say yes. Yes, Lord. Have your way. But see, God has to do that change. We can. So I'm so glad. Thank you, musicians, that we have that hope. See? And we need to rest on that hope. We're going to be sad people if we don't have anything to rest on. We're resting on his promises tonight. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for bringing us back tonight, Father, and have your way now. You have gathered us here together. So, Father, we are going to say yes. We're going to surrender to whatever you have for us tonight. Father, we know it's going to be good. It's going to be your word. It's going to be for our own best interest. And I know, Father, that when we leave, we are going to be blessed people, more blessed than we came in, Father. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we cannot just start telling you how much we appreciate everything you have done in our life, Father. Even if you don't do anything else, you have done so much already. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. So, we continue part two of wisdom. And this morning I read you Ephesians 3:10. Well, it was James 1:5, but tonight I'm going to read you Ephesians 3:10. I don't know, we have the... To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. We're going to put them on, you know. This is what is going to happen. We put them on notice now. Before, it was the other way around. I had no choice. But now I can stand. See? Known by the church. Yeah. The church is the standard tonight. It's not no one else. It's God's wisdom in the church. The manifold wisdom of God is in the church. Whatever was in God was in Christ. Christ was the fullness. He was the wisdom of God in flesh. But today, you are the manifold wisdom. So think about it. In each one of you, there is a portion of wisdom of God. Like it was all in Jesus, now it's in his body, in his church. For some reason, not just to have it, right? We need to do something with it. Amen. So as we define wisdom, the ability to take the knowledge and to take the experiences. And so wisdom can bring understanding to that. That's why many people read the Bible and they say, I don't understand it. You know? That great man, Nick, came to Jesus that night, you know, a master, supposed to be a leader, you know, a teacher, you know. He says, Master, you know, we know that you come from God. Wow. Wow, what a principle. If you know you came from God, why don't you do something about it? You know? So he said, we know you come from God because whatever you ask, whatever you said, it happens. That's, you know, they knew the vindication. But they don't have the understanding because they didn't have no wisdom. Because wisdom comes from God through the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. So he said, well, you know, and Jesus started talking to him and saying, you know, if you are not born again, you will not see, understand, Brother Branham said. No wisdom. If you are not born again, there's no wisdom for you to understand what the things, the kingdom of heaven. You have to have the Holy Ghost. You have to be born again. That is the beginning of this journey. How can you enter a race? I don't know which way you're going and how much is required and how much is expected. What you need to do? You're just going to bolt down and you're probably going the wrong way anyway because you would not know. Something has to lead you. Something has to guide you. That is His plan. You cannot do it on yourself. There's no way in my own strength, intellectual abilities that I can direct my own life. But I'm glad that He's doing that for me. He said, unless you are born again, you will not understand. You will not get the understanding of the word and anything unless you are born and have the wisdom of God in you. To make the right decisions, to make the right judgments, so it be beneficial to you and others around you. Wait a minute, how can I get back? See, man's wisdom. Trying to reason. That's Satan, reasoning. How can I get back in there? Oh, duh, we know that, you know. That's not what he was talking about. You need to be born again. Again. You know, sometimes when we talk about wisdom, I hear a saying. I don't know if it's even from the Bible. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm just saying that. I don't know. It could be. But it's a saying that said, give me the wisdom to change what I can and accept. And give me the wisdom to accept what I cannot change. Something like that. I don't know if that came from the Bible or not. But I've seen it in different places, you know. Somebody having the refrigerator hanging over there or somewhere. You know, people give these things with this saying. I don't know if who made it up, but anyway, sounds good, right? But see, I cannot accept what Satan sends me every day. I have the wisdom to know that whatever it comes, that whatever God allow him to bring, this box of rattlesnake, I don't need to accept them. I don't need to accept cancer. I don't need to accept this and that, allergies, cough. I don't care what the throat. I don't need to accept anything. I don't need the wisdom to accept that. I know I cannot change it. You know, what is new? I can't do nothing about it. But I know who can do something about it. I just need to have the wisdom for God to change me so I can overcome those things. To give you the wisdom, the faith, to give you whatever it takes for you to overcome those things in your life. Once you do that, that's all you need. Next time it happens, you got wisdom. You got experience. You've seen it done. Like brother Pray, he has had cancer before. I know I've seen it. I pray I have seen it. So see, don't ask God to change your situation. You know, because some of those trials and some of those things come for your own benefit. God is working in you. And those trials come for a reason. So sometimes we have to be careful what we're praying, you know. Because God is doing something. What we need to pray is just give them the wisdom. You know, whatever they need. Listen, the trials are come because you need something. It is in you already, but you need to know that it's in you. You don't know unless... Like I said, how do you know you got wisdom if you don't have you never experienced it? Something has to. You have to experience something. How can you tell me you honestly you never had a chance to steal or to tell a lie? It will come. See, something has to happen to trigger that, you know, that response. It's there, but you don't know it, and I don't know it. He knows it, so he let these things come, so something in you will say, you the standard. You know what? No. I am the wisdom of God today. And the word of God says, He will do that at that time, at that place. He will do that. You just have to have patience and wait for it. And not try to be impatient. Oh, God, will you take it from me? I don't like suffering and I don't like this. I know we don't. I don't like it neither. But God, just change me. Change my heart. What is that is it me something? Examine there's something. You know, but I want to be changed so I can overcome those things. Maybe I'm not praying right. Maybe I need to pray. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. You know, whatever. But I need to examine myself. God, change me. Once you figure it out, by God's wisdom, You tell that devil, enough is enough. But you got to get there. I know he promised you healing. I know he promised you the problem, but you have to have the wisdom to understand what he wants you to do with all that. So God changed my heart so I can overcome whatever comes in my life. I need to learn that. Now, young people, don't think because you haven't had experience like I have in life that you don't have no wisdom. You don't need to go through what I went through. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning in order to appropriate wisdom. You don't have to experience bad things to be a wise guy, you know? Jesus didn't do anything wrong. You know what the only thing he did? He was obedience. By obedience, he learned. You know, all you have to say is no or yes, you know? When your parents tell you something or the world, God asks you to require you to do something, all you have to say yes. You don't have to make a mistake. So, I need to learn by my mistakes. No, that's a rough road. That's what I'm telling you. Don't go that way. Only say yes to his will. Be obedient to God, to mom and dad, and that's all you need. Because when you are obedient to God, God will bring that to he will vindicate. You want the Holy Ghost? You know what? When you get it, you know you got it. I don't have to tell you. When you experience God in your life, nobody has to tell you anything. You know you have. And that's the same thing with everything else. When you experience a promise of God in your life, you know you got it. Maybe you cannot explain it, but you know you got it. You don't have to go out there and make a mistake to experience anything. You just need to experience the word of God in your life, and God will bring it to vindication. Be patient, and then you experience him. That is what we're doing here. We want to experience God in my life, in your life. And you don't have to make a mistake to do that. That's the wrong way coming to the back door, you know, because that is the default. You made a mistake, okay, ask God for forgiveness. He will forgive you, and he will clean you up again. But that's the back door. That's the default. We don't need to default. We just need to be obedient to experience God's word working in our lives. Proverbs 9:10, we're going to go through what the Bible says. Because the book of Proverbs has more to say about wisdom than any other book that I know. Besides the book of James, we talk about it in a minute, than any other book in the Bible. Now, Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, obedience. Brother Andy was talking about obedience, faith, take a step of faith in obedience. Well, this is all tied together. The word of God is not a beast and pieces. It's very continuous. In fact, that's what's wrong with our brains. We are made by God, and God is analog. You know what an analog signal is? Continuous. You know? Digitals are bits and pieces. And then they edit them together. They do the editing. In fact, I can film a scene that in winter time, you know, and wait until I finish my film back in summer, in spring, and bring them together. And in your mind, it looks continuous, but it's not. It's just bits and pieces that are put together in a sequence. There's a problem with that. You don't think that way. You think continuously. That's why when you are driving your car and you take your phone and you take your eyes out of the road for 5 minutes, you're still continuously thinking. The mind don't just set a bit here, a bit there. Okay, no. It just, you pick up a piece or you look at there and then you might think that, oh, that's the way it is. But you're not looking. You think that's the way it is. Suddenly, you hit a car. Why? Because you're not really looking at real time. Your brain thinks, oh, yeah, I got time. No, you don't. See, that's how God made us to understand things. It has to be continuous. That's why gossip is so bad. Because you get bit and pieces about this and God and your mind. Hey, you cannot help it. You just want to have something. So you start stringing little things, you know, and making little things to make it just like a. But what did you see him over there? Well, I don't know. I know he was there. What he was doing, I don't know, but, you know, and then we try to bring this little feeling, so he looks. So how do you know all that? Well, I don't know, but, see, but I made it up. The parts that I didn't know, I made them up. So he loves, because that's how the brain wants to look and hear. This is here, wants something continuous, not bits and pieces. Sometimes my wife starts talking to me, and I don't pick up but bits and pieces. And then I have to ask her again, what happened? Who? Where? What he did? What? Why? Because I'm not listening. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm not all concentrated, so I hear her talking, and I start picking up. So my brain right away, okay, sir, sorry, who are you talking about? You already told me, I just missed that piece. See? And then we want to have this. So, I don't know what I'm here, but I'm there. Anyway, here we are. So, the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of the holy, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Wisdom is to understand God. And the result of that is that you can make a decision based in what God wants. So listen, wisdom is to know God. Simple, but deep. You have the Holy Ghost, you are equipped with what you need from here to heaven. See? This journey. All you have to do, and I have to do, is just what? You know, plug in there. Let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and give us the wisdom on the things that we have already. It's not going to be overnight here and you're done. I mean, it's going to take a journey. It's a progressive. But it will give you the wisdom that you need to make it all the way. But we have to listen to Him in this journey. It says, the book of Proverbs is more than, you know, than that is wisdom. Wisdom begins and ends with fear of the Lord. You know, it's not fear about I'm going to go to hell. It starts that way. I fear my dad and that belt, you know, when I was a child. But I later on, you know, I find out that he loves me. He hurts me, but he loves me. He told me he hurts him. I don't know, but he hurts me. But he loves me. So it's that fear. We start that way, being struck by lightning, going to hell, fear of this, dying, but it's not that. It is a deep abiding, you know, the Holy Ghost present in our life, God is in our life, you know, that brings a reverence and a respect to God and for His Word, for the Lord, for His Word, and for His people. See? So, begins and ends with obedience. That's what the Bible said. See, obedience. Samuel, first, I don't have it there, so don't look for it, but God said, I want obedience more than what? Than sacrifices. Coming to church is all right. Checking the box, you know, that's all right. Come to church, just come. But this is more than just coming to church and checking a box. See? He wants more than just sacrifices of our lips. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. He wants our heart. That's what He wants. He wants to abide. But the Holy Ghost in our heart. Then He can do His job, His work. Now, what happens is sometimes, you know, we look at it this way. Obedience has to come before understanding. God is not going to give you understanding when there's not going to. God knows if you're going to obey and I'm going to obey. God knows if we are going to believe or not. That's why believing is not what it, you know, what it takes. Obedience. Then once we said, yes, Lord, yes, then God will reveal that to us. But obedience has to come first. Brother was talking about faith, stepping in faith by obedience. Obedience has to come first. It is imperative that you know that. Is there some obedience? My son is not going to do what I'm asking. You think I'm going to ask him? You think I'm going to spend my time telling what I want when I know he's not going to do it? My grandfather, one time, I was staying in the house. We were spending vacation, me and my cousins. I was almost at the same age, I think it was. And my grandfather asked my cousin, he says, will you do something? I think it was throw the trash or do something. I wasn't even paying attention. He wasn't talking to me. But I know he was asking. So, well, time went by and he didn't do it. He said yes, but he never done it. So later on, my grandfather comes to me and says, will you do this? Well, I never said yes. I never said no, but I went and done it. See? Why? He didn't even ask me to begin with. The thing is, what is good to say yes and we're not going to do it? But the one that says no, you know, I said no, I'm not going to do it. But then, after a while, something kind of, well, okay, let me go and do it. So it's better to say no and do it, to say yes and not doing it. Now think about it. It's better obedience than sacrifice. See, sometimes obedience has to come before understanding. And when someone obeys what they know to be the truth, it has to be revealed to you. The wisdom revealed to you, the understanding, you can say yes. And then usually everything else will follow. But it starts with saying, yes, I will. What do you want me to do? Don't worry. Do it. You say yes, and I'll tell you what it is. Oh, I don't know. I was in the army too long. I never say yes, never volunteer, because I don't know what I'm about. That's mentality, the human mentality, saying yes. But see, with God, you don't lose anything. God is perfect, and He wants you and your heart, and He wants your life to so you can prosper. I mean, we already know that, so all we have to say yes, and we know we are in good hands. Not like the insurance company. That's worldly stuff. You're in good hands. Okay, pharmacy insurance. We are in good hands. So, obeying. After you understand, then God give you wisdom. And usually just follow. Now, wisdom begins with the respect and reverence to God and fear for Him and His word. That's where wisdom begins. Well, what happened? When you don't fear the word of God, what happened? What happened when you don't care and you don't fear your parents? I mean, you and I, but what happened when a child or a kid don't fear? They do whatever they want. And you know what? You can't even control them. Why? They're out of hand now. Why? Because he don't care what you do. What can you do to me? I call 911. You touch me. I know I got my rights. There's some parents, there's some children that have divorced their parents in court. I mean, this happened in this day and age. Don't touch me. I call 911. I call, you know, the line, whatever that, the whatever it is, department or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. That take care of the kids, fosters, you know, take them. So once there's no fear, then you don't come to church. What do you have to say that, bro? I just don't see no other possibility. If you don't fear that the rapture is going to happen today or tomorrow in another 10 days, I mean, you can reason this out, but you don't need to come. Because there's nothing to fear. That's what you see in back of these trucks. This is the age that people put no fear. Why? Because I don't have to worry. It says no fear in your heart of the Lord. We stop doing things. That's how easy it is, how simple it is. See, no fear of the Lord, there can never be any through wisdom. And if there's no wisdom, how can you understand to fear God and to respect Him and to understand what God wants the best for you? You know, some of the children today said, well, you know, the parent says, you know, I want the best for you. I'm doing this for you. It is for you. I love you. They say, no, you don't know what I need. You don't know what I want. I want that boy. I want that girl. What do you know about love? You old fashioned, whatever. See, they don't respect. They don't have any respect. They don't have any reverence for authorities. What do you think this country is going the way it's going? There's no respect. Yeah, I shoot the police. Why? Because I don't care. I don't have no fear what they have to me. And they get killed, but they don't care. Because there's no respect and reverence for authority any longer. And take that in the spiritual. We don't have no respect and to the authority that is the church. It's Him. So what do you think people do what they do? It's just sad. You know, the situation is just, it's not time for this. It's time to make sure, you know what you know and you do what you do, because you don't know when. And we're not in this because we fear God. Love chase away all that fear. Once I know that He's doing it because He loves me, that, take care of that. My father, you know, he got me and he did what he had to do, but I know he loves me. He provided me. See, Isaiah 11:1. Let's look at God's wisdom. We know the beginning of wisdom is obedience. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, talking about Jesus. Jesus was the wisdom of God. A branch that shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear. Now, if Jesus has to be obedient and reverent to the word of God, what about you and me? How can we get with less than that? Oh, but I love Jesus. I want his mind. He's the mind of Jesus. They want to do their thing because that's their mind. Sorry, but that's what it's just according to what I'm looking, that's what I amount to. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying this is what the word of God says. Correction starts in the house of the Lord. Or you want me to just leave it alone and let you out there figure it out with somebody else? Do you want correction or not? From the Lord, not from me. God, do whatever you have to do tonight. Scrub me the wrong way. I don't care. As long as I know when I leave this door that I'm right with you, that's all it matters. Do whatever. Break me. Shake me again. If I'm not right, do whatever you need to do. But I don't want to have no trouble when I get there to that end, to that river. Jesus was said to be full of wisdom. Mark 6:2 says, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished. Wow. This guy didn't go to seminary. This guy didn't go to school. He's not a high priest. He's not a he's not nothing. Where, from whence he has this man, learned these things from? Well, he had a teacher that nobody know of, that you still have it too, this morning, tonight. And what wisdom is this which is given to him? 12 years old in the synagogue, talking to the rabbi, to the people that have more wisdom than I don't know what, people that have lived it, older. And they were amazed. 12 years old, where do you think he got wisdom from? Just like Solomon. He didn't need it to experience good or bad. He just needed to experience God in his life and the Word. And do exactly what the Word said. And experience the vindication of that. And every time you do that, every day, you know what? You move forward. See? You grow. Wisdom helps you to grow. See? Every time you experience God, you grow. And when you don't, what happens? You backslide. Because if you don't experience God every day, something is wrong. Listen, you cannot stay still. There is no center point that you can say, I'm safe here. Today I'm not going back and I'm not going forward. I'm just safe to stay. There's no that stuff. Either you're going back or you're going forward. We know there's not a center point. Never. Scientists have not found it. There's not exactly 0, -1, -2, 1, 2, 3, and you are balanced completely, 100%. There's no such a thing. You're going to be off 0.00000001. I don't know, something like nano microseconds. I don't know. You're going to be off. Either way. It's not true balance. But he says, that the Spirit of the Lord, the wisdom by those who heard him, see, as a young child. And then the Bible said that he grew in wisdom. Luke 2:40. Lucas. Did I give you Lucas? No, I think I gave it to you. I'm 52. And the child grew. You had to grow in wisdom. And wax strong in spirit. That's what wisdom will do for you. Filled with wisdom in the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus increased in wisdom. He has to learn obedience so he could grow in wisdom. And you have to do the same. I got to do the same. Every day it is a test of obedience. He passed the test. And by the grace of God, we pass the test. He says, wisdom and stature. So, not only he was growing in wisdom, but in, physically he was growing up too. It goes together. Just like a baby. You don't expect a baby to have that much wisdom. But they will gain that. And they grow and they gain. And they grow and they gain some more. You and I are growing. To be the stature of Jesus Christ. That is our goal. But it's going to take some obedience so we can have the wisdom of God. See, full of wisdom. Child grew rapidly. See, Jesus told the disciples here, we look in Luke 21:15. during the persecutions, he says, I will give you a mouth, or I will tell you what to tell. You know, we feel you open, I feel. Open, I feel. Forget about this one. Empty that one. Trash it. I will use your mouth. I will use to speak and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to what? You know, Peter, not learned guy. And they said, man, he must have been with Jesus. What did he get in all this? What did he learn all this preaching? He didn't even have an education. What? Well, we know that. He's been with Jesus. Amen. So that is what, you don't have to figure it out beforehand, what to say and what to do. God will lead you, God will guide you, and God will give you words. Don't worry. Amen. Be happy. When you get up in the morning, you know, he will lead you, he guide you. But I have to go to court, I know I have to, they're going to chop me down, or I have to pay this. Sister, oh, she's not here, okay. She had a case a few years ago, last year, Sister Janice or something like that. Something that she had to go to court. I don't know if it was, I cannot remember. But she asked for prayer. That's how I remember that. That God will do something. That dismissed the case. She didn't have to worry what he had to say, worry what you said, what you do. God will take care of those things. Like I told you about that guy in prison. He told me, no, I was in the wrong place, wrong time. I didn't do that. Well, I said, well, let's pray and let God bring the vindication, you know, of that. They did. He wasn't guilty. A month after that, he got word things is out. Well, later on, he was back. Now he told me, now it's my fault. See, sometimes the only way God can get somebody's attention is to bring him back to jail. Not us, but some people have learned that way. It's just like us in a different sense. You know, if we're not still enough to listen, you know, like a little child, why running around and giving more sugar and they're just going up and down the curtains and you're trying to talk, they won't listen. You scream and they just keep going like, you know, they're not ignoring you. They can hear you. Their minds are going 100 miles and yours going about 25 trying to talk to them. Wow, you. And she thinks this far something. It's not, that's not for me, maybe some. No, they're going so fast that they cannot stop. So. Once they stop, you know, when man goes, and yanking back, what? Are you talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you. Didn't you hear me talking to you? When? See, sometimes God has to do that. So we get so bogged down, tied down, and God has to just actually come and create a situation just to get your attention. That's all. Thank God for that. Nothing wrong. It's just thank God that God loves you that much that he wants to get your attention. I mean, I'm so glad that he wants to talk to me. In fact, he wants to talk to me more than I want to talk to him. I'm glad he made it that way. And if I'm his child, nothing will separate me from the love of God. That's Luke, I don't know where we were at. 21:15, I think we read... Yeah, we read that one. So, Matthew 13:54, Jesus here teaching in his own place, hometown. Teaching in the synagogues. And when he came into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue. And so much that they were astonished again. He said, whence him this man? Now he's a man. Before was a child, now he's a man. So he kept growing in wisdom. See? Not only that, now wisdom started having works. Now you got to the point that he says, if you do not, if you don't believe that I am, wow, that was deep, the I am. If you don't believe that I am, you die in your sins. They didn't want to believe that he was God. What a wisdom. Man, he could say that though. And we're going to see more of that in a minute. 13:54, see? He says, they were astonished. And then in Revelation 7:12, this is what is credited to Jesus, okay? He says, saying, amen, the blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. But this is also credited to Jesus. See, and also in Luke, let's see, 7, that's, okay, 5, 7, 12, Revelation 7, 12. I guess I read that once, right? 5, 12 then? Which one? Okay, but 7, 12, what is 7, 12? Sorry. Do I have 7? Ah, I bypassed it, huh? No, I read that one. Okay, and I'm breaking down. Say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power, this Lamb, Jesus Christ, the riches, the wisdom. See? Good and faithful servant. Come. Why? Because we got to that, we're going to get there. Slowly, he has to learn these things. Wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And then let's go to Luke 11:31. Sometimes we thought that Solomon had wisdom. He did. But Brother Branham preaches a sermon, something greater than Solomon. You thought that he was something? All that wisdom is something greater than Solomon. Is here. He was a credit to be God's wisdom. That was his credit. Jesus was God's wisdom. Let's read what Brother Branham says in Paradox right quick. He says, incredible, a real paradox, that this same one, Jesus of Nazareth, would choose a bunch of ignorant fishermen for his church. Instead of the well-trained priests and denomination of that day, how that God that had all wisdom, that could walk on water, you know, that could turn water into wine, that could take 5 biscuits and feed 5,000 and take up 7 baskets full, how that one, someone, and how that same one, the God that sits in eternity yonder, that's so bright till the sun hides from the face, from him, the very pool of wisdom. You know what? Let me just inject this there and then we move on. A pool is a lot of water in a pool. But see, you are a drop. There's some wisdom in you guys. Tonight we're going to get to there. That wisdom didn't stay with him. When Brother Branham left, he didn't take God with him. What is the wisdom of God after Brother Branham left? It's here. It's here. And purity and understanding and knowledge supreme of the supremes. And he would come to a place where a great organization of a church had all gathered together and trained all their men. And he go down and pick up a bunch of dirty, stinking fishermen that could not even write their own names. I wasn't a stinking, filthy, dirty fisherman. But I smell like a fish anyway. You know, like a filthy rag. That's what the Bible says. And choose the type of man to set a church in order for the bride, for his bride. You are his wisdom. A strange thing, isn't it? Look like at least he do take somebody with some training or trained. I'm glad he didn't. New Testament. The Bride. The New Testament Book of Wisdom. The Book of James, you know, we've been reading, is called the New Testament. You know, the old Proverbs is the Book of Wisdom. So James, in the New Testament, is the Book of Wisdom. At least they have said that, they said it that way. Contain a lot of wisdom for the church. See? So, James 1:5, we read this morning. Jesus saw the value of wisdom. And James 1:5. And he explained it this way in James. We read this morning. I read it. Yes, no, maybe so. Okay. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. We read this morning. Who gives generously to all without reproach. See, and it will be given to him. You need wisdom tonight? You want more wisdom? I'm not saying that you don't have any. Do you want more wisdom? You're going to need it. Things are getting worse out there. But the bride shall not be, you know, the elect one cannot be deceived. Why? Because you got the wisdom of God working for you in behalf of you to decide what's right, what's wrong, what to do, what not to do. See? Now, James 3:13. It says, 3:13, who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Okay. If that's so, let him show out the of a good, let him show that wisdom by his conversation. His work should testify that, you know, by meekness, humble of wisdom. So who wants to claim you have more wisdom than anybody else? Come on, don't be afraid. God will. You're going to have to get that sooner or later. Just like Brother Brown said, the Bible says, if you want to be the honcho, the main one, the boss, I'm the boss, yeah? Then you make yourself what? The way up is, you want to be the wise guy here in town? Then humble yourself. Let your wisdom be meekness. In meekness. And your conversation will give you out. I told you, it's not what you said. It's how you said things. So, now nobody wants to profess that they're wise. Okay. So let's go to James 3:15. I think I put them all together there. Yeah, let's read them all. Okay. Who is wise man and do with knowledge among? We read that one. That this wisdom descended not from... This wisdom descended not from above, but is... Well, that kind of... I didn't trigger... Let's see what I put here. This is different between... early wisdom, James 3:15, and godly wisdom. Now, we talked about this morning. Okay, he's talking about the wisdom of Satan. I'm sorry, I got kind of... whoop. Because I'm reading something that is because I put 13 and I skip 15, I skip 17, and that's why the confusion. Don't skip. My mind cannot understand bits and pieces. It has to be continuous. That's what I had to stop. It wasn't continuous. Don't take bits and pieces. When you listen to somebody else telling you about somebody else, if it's not the whole story, the story the way it was, don't listen to it. Because they're going to give you bits and pieces, then you're going to make up your mind about filling in the blanks. And then when you get out there to three or four people, that's what happened. It changed because everybody started filling in blanks. But you didn't tell me that part, but I think. Anyway, that's three. So, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful. Can you see a man that has so much wisdom not being peaceful and tolerance and patient, tolerate you and be patient? Wisdom do that. If a person said it has wisdom, then you have to be patient. You have to be tolerating. Why? Because that's what wisdom do. The wisdom that comes from above. Look at God. How patiently he waited and waited. That we're talking about the wisdom of God, not man. From above, pure, gentle. See, I told you, it's not what you're saying. It's how you're handling people when you're talking to them. God didn't handle you that way. In fact, that's what I'm here because he's so gentle. He's a gentleman. And you got to be one if you have the wisdom of God in you. He teaches you how to do that. And easy to be entreated. You know, sometimes we talk to each other and you make it so difficult to understand you. I don't understand. Hint. Wait. You don't tell me what it is. Why do you have to hide in the hint. Wait. You know, just tell me straight. I understand that. Continues. Don't give me bits and pieces. You know, you understand what I'm saying? No. We don't need to be hinting. Just tell me. I had a brother. I love that brother. We went to prison. And he decided to go to another church where they believe tapes, you know. And this is just a fact. I'm not criticizing or saying good, bad, or indifferent. It's just the truth. It happened to me. So we were going to prison. And he picks me up. So I'm riding with him. And he started to tell me about something. And I knew he was trying to tell me about why he's there and why, you know, wisdom about being in a tape church. But he never came and told me straightforward. Right. And you know why? Because they don't want to tell you their revelation. According to them, they want you to figure it out. Because when you figure it out, you said, God revealed it to you. Finally, you got it. I just hint, and I hope you get it. Oh, I got the revelation. Praise the Lord, you got it. So he kept going and I ain't getting nothing. The more he talked, the further away I got. And I was just sitting there. please, why don't you tell me what you want to tell me? Tell me what you believe. Tell me what you want to tell me, and then I will make my mind. Don't insult me with hints. Well, I feel that way. Insult my, you know, my father. Young, 14, 13, I don't know how old, I would just have to be about that age. And he wanted to tell me about the bees and the... And he didn't know. We had three boys, so he had to do the job. My mom wasn't going to do it. See, if you have girls, mom, you got boys, dad. I'm going to the airport with him that morning to pick up my aunt, and he decided that that was the right place, the oven, to tell me about the bees and the whatever they call that saying. You know, sex is taboo in Puerto Rico when I was growing up. Nobody talks about it. And then, so what do you think I know about that at that age? So he started, he didn't want to come for, you know, straight. So he started telling me, well, you know, those women are there, you know, in life. What does that mean? And, you know, my brother, Carlitos, you know, his name was Carlos, is living with this woman, and I don't know what he's talking about. Really, I'm trying to, I cannot figure it out because there's nothing in my mind to figure out. I don't have no experience. I don't know what's going on. I never, what do I know about adultery? What do I know about women's life at 13, 14 years old? Some people do today, but I didn't know. I tell my wife, if I would have died in Vietnam at 19, 20, I was a virgin still. I have not defined my body. My mind, yes. Yeah, because he, you laugh, but Brother Branham made that excuse when he was dying. He said, I'm not committing adultery. But he wanted to smoke. He almost got there. He wanted to, see? But who stopped him? God had a plan for him. See? Sometimes we think, oh, but we're so good, but let's see. Your thoughts speak louder than your actions. That's what Jesus said. You don't have to commit the act physically. Just think about it. So that's what I said. Okay, I'm pointing the finger at me, and I'm going to talk about you. I would have died, you know, physically. Anyway, my father tried to. I don't know what he was talking about. You know, and people in church, they try. They hit him. I don't know what they want. Even at this stage, just tell me what you want. If you did something wrong, just tell me. You did this wrong. Don't hint, hint. Well, you know who did that? You know what? That thing is broken. Well, you been through there? Well, yeah, I've been through there. But what are you trying to tell me? That I broke it? Just tell me. Okay, let's enough of that. So, what was I? James 13 and 17. Can you put it back? Because I think I need to finish. Because the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Okay, peaceful, gentle. You know, easy to be entreated. I mean, you know, I have to figure things out. Ask, if I have wisdom, I will impart it to you. And if you have a revelation, it's so easy to, you know, Peter, you know, the reason he wrote what he wrote in one verse, he write the beginning and the end, you know, in such a simple words. How many words do you need to explain something? Just come forward. If you have a revelation, you will be able to tell me the understanding if you have the wisdom. You don't have to be trying to, how it happened, when, what about this? You don't have to be, you know, kind of trying to reach there and pull things out, you know. Just tell me. That happens in the wisdom of the world. If you're running business, when I started my business, nobody wanted to tell me the little mysteries and secret to make it big. Why? Because they're afraid that you become their competition. So they take you so far and that's it. Sorry, we did the same thing, me and my wife. So people come asking question. Now I go as far as telling them, let me give you a tip. I will not charge you. Pay me a small fee, but I'm going to tell you. You know, because I'm to the point after 20 years that who cares, you know. The world has changed. So my model is too old. You can have it, see if you can work it out. You need new models today. That model won't work no longer. The one that I started 20 years ago won't work. If I want to continue, I have to change. And then I decided after 20 years, me and my wife decided we are not changing. So let's get out. I'm not changing the way I'm doing business. I'm done doing business. I write the book and they can get all my tips in my book, my new book, and then they can buy it. No. That's how I will make money. That's what some people do. After they make a million, The secret, buy my book, how can you make your first million? Well, now they're going to make the second million selling you the book. Ain't that smart? Man, I don't know what I'm here, I'm one there, I'm just there. So, entreating, full of mercy. Didn't God have mercy for you when you was wrong, rebellious, and the only thing you deserved was dead, just like me? Mercy. Fruits. Fruits show maturity. You know where a tree gets there? It's mature. It starts giving what? Fruits. The first 2-3 years, you don't get anything. In fact, you get to work a lot. Water. My wife, she water, and she buy vitamins, and she buy all kind of stuff. And she even talk to the things. I don't know how that works, but she said it do work. I won't talk to them. I breathe. Hear hard. Said, you want some methane gas? You know, here's some CO2. I have a plant next to me in my bed. My wife put one over there. She said, you need company. I said, I do. She gave me a plant. This is for you, honey. So it's growing good and it's green. I'm breathing all night. My breath stinks probably, but they like it. And they turn that and turn it into oxygen. And you know what? They give it back to me. Payback. I don't know what I'm there, but here we are. Fruits, you know, without partiality. God has no respect to people. Your fruit should not be partial. Just for certain people. No, it should be no partiality. You treat everybody the same way. There's no, I like you and I don't know, I don't hate you, but I don't like you neither. That's passive hate. If you come to that point that you have that wisdom of God in you, that is what the Bible is saying. It will happen, not me. That's what should happen. And without who? The last one. Hypocrisy. Brother Brown says, if I become a hypocrite, I just throw my towel. He would not face God being a hypocrite. How can you and I face God without being hypocrite with one another? Hypocrisy. You know what that means? That means I don't mean what I told you. I just lied to you. And being a hypocrite, you know, it's just, okay, oh, yes, brother. Ah, brother deal. Let me make a deal. I'm not interested in you. I want your money. And that's not right. That don't happen here. I'm just giving you out of, pulling something out to just show you that. Let's move forward because we need to finish. I promise I finish at 8. Okay. Oh, no. 8:15. Hey, for some reason, my kid took 15 minutes more. I'm not criticizing. He can be led to do whatever he wants. But whatever point he give it to me, that's what starts. I'm not criticizing because he took 15 minutes. He can take all he wants. But I'm going to pick up from there. And I'm going to do what I need to do. Now, I realize, Brother Brandon, next, where did you go? Well, don't confuse me. It don't take much to confuse me. Okay. What? Okay. Now, I realize, are we that far already? My, let me see if I skip something here. You're not going to get away that easy. Okay. Now, I realize, and you realize too, administers, now we get into we know that Jesus is the wisdom of God, you know. Now we're going to go where that goes to, the application of that. Now I realize, and you realize too, as ministers, that a man can take a divine gift. Remember I told you about gift this morning. You know, we all have a gift. That is God's wisdom. He has given you something to do something. But he's saying, if you have a gift, he said he can send his soul to hell with it. Why? Misuse it. If you have a gift and you don't have wisdom to operate that gift, I'm sorry. You can be in trouble. Because you are not, you're misusing a gift. You know that. A gift from God, now, I don't mean just something that you imagine. I mean, if God has really given you something and give it to you, charge, you got to use that with the wisdom of God. you, he says, or you can die, go to hell. I didn't say that. There's a lot of people at their denominations and they are misusing the gift. And that's what Brother Brian is talking about. But that can happen in the message too. You can, I mean, we all got gifts. And you need to use them with wisdom. And not everybody has the same gift you have. I cannot play the music like Brother Kenny plays music. That's not my gift. But God gave him that gift, and he gave him the wisdom to handle that gift in such a way that he can make that piano talk. It talks to my heart. I don't know if yours does, but he can make that talk. Well, I can make noise. And it will confuse you, and you go, stop. Because that's not my gift. Now, somebody else can have another gift. You know, Andy has a gift. You know? But God will provide the wisdom. The problem is, what Brother Brian is talking, knowingly that you have a gift, and then not having the wisdom to handle the gift, but doing whatever you want with the gift. There's a lot of people there. And they're going to go to hell just because of that. Because God will not, you know, take away. Gifts are without repentance. What do you do with the gifts is what we're talking about. Do not misuse the gifts. I mean, if God has really given something and give it to you, charge, you have got to use it. Now, how many wants to claim that you have a gift? Okay. Because now I will require another token. It's called wisdom. And if you have a gift and you said you have wisdom, then you need to use it. Your works will tell me. It will be vindicated by your fruits, by the way you talk, by the way you handle, by the way you do the things with the gift. We don't have gifts just so we can puff up, you know. I got a gift of preaching. So what? You go to hell with the gift of preaching, you'll be using. Because that's not what is used to control people. Sorry. God is the only one. The Spirit is the only one that should have control of people. That's what Brother Brown says. If the man uses gift to have control, sorry. Ephesians 3:10. It gets rough. It is simple, but it gets real rough because God has made it that way so we can handle the word. And he has given you certain portions of that word. And also how to handle that. If you get out of that, trying to handle something else, you die, and you die whoever you are ministering the gift. That is not a gift of yours. And even if you have a gift and you don't do it right, you still death. That's why Brother Man said, if you don't have the Holy Ghost and you're not called to be a preacher, stay out of the pulpit. Because you're going to kill you and you're going to kill everybody else. I tremble every time I come up here. I was nervous sitting down this morning there. My heart still going boom, boom, boom. I can hear my heart through my veins here, through my jugular veins are going pa, pa, and my ears going pa, like a drum. Finally, I started singing and I forgot about it and then went down. Then he called me and went up again. Anyway. But I start preaching and then I kind of ease into the things and I forget about it. Once I enter in the Spirit, I'm not here anymore. I'm not listening to this body. Once I stepped in the presence of God, I'm not thinking about this body. Well, I heard that. My body's still alive. I got to keep it down. I thought it was all dead. I heard that. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers and heavenly places might know, I read you this, the multi-wisdom of God is in the church today. Listen, the bride is the standard. The wisdom of God is on display today. A part here, a part here, a part here. You are the standard. You tell the world what the wisdom of God is concerning his word. You are the standard. So, when Satan comes like a flood, who is the wisdom of God to stand and say, I am the wisdom of God? See, I know what his word said. I have an understanding. Satan, you lose, I win. That's what I said. I will not accept, you know, whatever he wants. Amen. I don't even let him speak. I said, you know, you let him speak too far. It's too far. You cannot let him do it. Don't even listen. You are the wisdom of God in flesh. What part it is, you need to find out what you're calling and what you give. Because you do have a part of God in you. By measure, we all got a part of God. And if God is wisdom, you got a part of wisdom. See? And that wisdom had to feed on something, or some gift, some knowledge, some word. Okay. The benefits of wisdom. When you... Benefits of wisdom. Okay, Proverbs 29:15, I think is the next one. When you are a child, you don't see no value, you know, in being disciplined. Well, you got to hit me for, I got it, I will not do it again. No, you made, you pay. Oh, okay. The rod and reproof give wisdom. How many want wisdom now? You know, they were, when they were beating you, that you thought you were beating you to death. And they didn't love you, they didn't like you, and you was going to run away. Remember though? I didn't, that's what some people did. What you was getting was not a... you was getting wisdom. If you have a godly father, even if he wasn't godly. He tried to teach you the right things. But we don't look at it when we are children. We don't think that way. So the rod and reproof give wisdom. So do not spare. I say, do not spare the rod. I didn't say abuse your children. Discipline your children. That is different than abusing your children. God says he will chastise his children. God did not abuse children. And that's the wisdom we need to have as parents. We do not abuse them. The Bible said, be careful, do not, husband, love your wife, submit, and then, children, be obedient, and fathers, do not infuriate your children. That's not the word, because I forgot the word that, what is that, what? Yeah, provoke. You can provoke, though. The only thing you can provoke, that you are legally, can do it, legally, is to provoke each one to good works. Come on, provoke me. If it's good works, come to church. You know, that's good works. You're provoking somebody. I mean, if you go too far, you might get something else that you don't want it, but provoke them. He says, but a child, if you leave a child to himself, it will bring shame. You get that? So, discipline your children. They don't like it. I didn't like it, but it has to be done. Somebody had to show discipline, not abuse discipline. And children, be obedient so you get chastised. Just like the Lord chastised, be obedient to your parents. They're not doing that because they hate you. They just want you to turn to be a good taxpayer citizen. No. Be a good citizen for the communities and church, things like that. Proverbs 29:3. Who love wisdom rejoices his father. Whose love wisdom rejoices his father. Your father will be happy if you love wisdom. Why? Because wisdom tells you to be obedient to your father. Hey, I wish I knew that when I would have told my children when I were growing up. You know, be wise. And I will rejoice. He says, whoever loves wisdom. See, now Proverbs 21:28-26. How can we be wise in our own eyes? Wise. He that trusts in his own heart is a what? A fool. We don't even understand our own heart. The things that come out of there, I don't know what's going on there. I leave it alone. See, don't trust. You can't even trust your own self. And if you think you have enough wisdom, the worldly wisdom, and that's what you got, you're a fool. Don't advise me with worldly wisdom. Tell me what God wants me to do. I will appreciate that. But whosoever walk wisely, be delivered. God will do that. Now, let's go to Proverbs 24:3. It says, by the truth and self it not, also wisdom and instructions and understanding. by wisdom. You know, 24:3. Let's go to the next one, 24:3. That is the one I wanted. Maybe I made a mistake. Well, I didn't. But 24:3, I don't have 24:3. Did I read 24:3? Okay. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. You want to establish your house? Then you have to have the understanding of God in you. That's what I told you this morning. Men, you need to take charge with wisdom of your homes. Nobody else is going to do it. When I left and God changed my heart that night, I didn't have to confer with my wife. What do you think? I didn't even tell my wife. Not because I don't trust her, because I didn't want to hear what she had to say. It's just God is dealing with me. I tell you what, when a man knows what he's doing, the wife will follow. A wife needs a man that she can trust, that she knows that her best interest, the husband has the best interest is her, loves her, take care of her. You know, all the things that, you know, women want. Security, protection. Once you can show your mate that that is what you want for her, and you do it, not only in words, you do, she will follow. Because she got to a point that she can trust you with her life. That's hard to do today. People don't even want to get married, make a commitment. But I didn't have to ask my wife after 3 kids and 20 years later. It's too late anyway. I said, I went to church. Listen, man, so you get yourself straight and everything will fall in place. You find your position and your place and everything else will fall in place. The wisdom of God will tell you that. Your wife will follow. If she loves you and you love her, she will. You didn't even have to ask her. I didn't ask my wife to follow me. I went to church. Then I went to church. Next thing, she's in church. My kids are in church. We all got baptized. Because she was Catholic and I was nothing. I never had baptized in my life. I went to church all my life, but I never got baptized. I don't know why. But it made me no special, just that I didn't. Maybe I was ashamed to go out there and everybody see me and my friends. I think that's what it was. So, peer pressure. What are they going to say? They see me in front, giving my life to the Lord. What are they going to say when I start, you know? Because I went to the school with the same guys I went to church. And I know they were going to talk. Oh, now you are one of those Jesus freaks. So, by wisdom, you build your house. See? And by understanding, you establish it. Because now, you know that you have wisdom, and you know that you have wisdom in the Word of God, and that will establish your home in that Word. Out of that, can stand. Proverbs 23:23. Did I have that one? No. Thank you. The value of wisdom, we can see it in Solomon's statement right there. By the truth and self, it not also wisdom and instruction and understanding. I'm getting tired anyway. Let me put my glasses on. By truth, English, I tell you. By, you know, purchase. You know, you got it, right? I didn't. By truth. Can you buy truth? Sure. Buy from me. It says in the last age, go, try, by fire. So you can buy truth. You can buy a life that is worthy of the gospel. And do not sell it. Once you get hold to it, don't let it go. Do whatever it takes. Even if you have to die, just hold on. Do not sell it. Don't make an investment like some people like to do, buy and sell. Not this one. Once you find life, you better cling to that thing. Don't let it go. Buy wisdom. Can you? I wish I had some. I would sell you. Get rich. Wisdom. You want wisdom? You can buy wisdom. It's free. Yeah, but it's going to cost you everything you have. Instruction. Understanding. Where you buy it from? From him. It's not going to cost you anything, but it's free, but it's going to cost you everything you own and you have. Even your own self. You have to give yourself away completely. That is what you buy with your life. Whatever is left over that worth anything. You know it don't worth anything. And God still wants to take it as a down payment. Why? He sure loves you. So, instruction and understanding. So, once you got it, don't let it go. Once you have arrived and you know you got it, don't let it go. Don't let the devil talk to you. You know, it's going to be a fight to the end. To hold on to what God has given. But the man said, every step you take, you're going to have to fight for it. Whatever God gets, you're going to, you want more, you need more wisdom, you're going to have to fight for it. Every step of the way. You know, that's what we need today. 8 o'clock. I'm really told you, I'm not lying. I don't want to be a liar. I'm done. I got my conclusion right here, my last page, my conclusion. But I want to say this. But what I forgot, but talking about other things. I wanted to tell you that I forgot. Let me go back to the page before to see, because that's what triggers that Then I started talking. Once you got something in your mind, stop everything and tell people because you forget. Wisdom, instruction, and my understanding, celibate. I don't know. I forgot. Anyway, conclusion, Stan. My, what I was going to tell you. Well, it has to come. If it's important and you need it, it will come. I better start squeezing my brain so hard. I cannot remember. The biblical definition of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, as that's where things begin, and that is the source. The earthly wisdom is really no wisdom at all. It might look like it's not. Satan is good. He has a bunch of scarecrows out there, and sometimes it looks like some guy out there, but it's a scarecrow. Once you get past that scarecrow, you realize that you can have the corn all you want. I make menudo with it. I like menudo. It says, begin, and God is the source. There's no other source of wisdom today. So if you want wisdom, you have to buy it from God. How? With your life. It says, the earthly wisdom is really not wisdom at all, because the wisdom of this world is a foolishness. It's a folly with God. So, who are going to advise us that it's going to be good for us? No one. No one. You can trust your brother and your sister. If the advice is the wisdom of God, come from God. So be careful. Don't give any advice until you are sure that God talks to you. I always said, pray. If you see a brother or sister that if they continue in that path, in that way, they are going to fall. They are going to hurt themselves. And you are concerned. I know you are concerned. You love your brother, your sister. But do not give him a word of wisdom or knowledge unless God gave it to you. And you know that God gave it to you for that person. And you know what happened when you talk to that person? You know what the first thing they tell you? You know, brother, nobody knew about that, huh? You know? Because God knows all the secrets of the heart. So when you start talking to them, well, how do you know? Nobody knew that I was in that situation. I didn't know. I preached to you. And some of you said, you know, how do you know that? That's what I was talking yesterday with my buddies or my husband or my wife. Exactly what you preached. I don't know when you was there talking to anybody that I know. I'm trying to do something here. But then, you know, that's God, because I was not present there. That's what I'm saying. The less I know, the better it is. Because then you know it's God. Because I don't know anything about it. So you make sure that if you have a concern, keep it to yourself. Pray about it. And maybe God will not send you. Pray that God will send somebody. Always pray. You know. And God sometimes will use you. But God, if you can use somebody to go and talk to my brother. But don't go with concern. I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to wisdom. Going to make things worse. I already tried that once and I learned. I tried things once. I learned quickly. Well, I'm a thoroughbred. Pa. Okay, I won't do that again. You know, yeah. I don't like pain, you know, and whipped. And I'm gone. The wisdom of this world is folly with God. 1 Corinthians 3:19. Did I put it there? For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. True wisdom is found in obedience to God, fearing him and his word. In the word of God, the Bible, fearing his word and the Bible, and by praying or asking for it. That's how you get wisdom. All other grounds are sinking ground. You cannot find no wisdom anywhere. It's rare today. But you can find it. You have it available. You know what you need to do? Ask. You need wisdom? You need more wisdom? Ask for it. It will give it to you. Let's pray. Let's bow your heads. Father, we so such a love you, God. God, we don't even, even the way I feel about you, I can multiply that by 1,000 because that's how much you love me. You know, the pressure that Brother Brian was talking in a pipe so high, full of water, that he wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost is greater than what I, pressure that I feel to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You love me more than I love you. You want me more than I wanted you. You want to give me more. I mean, we are the bride. You want to give her gift, wisdom to use those gifts. Father, we come to you tonight. This is your church, Father. We are your children. Father, help us to be loyal. Help us to take those gifts and give us the wisdom to handle them. Because you give them and you also have to, you know, tell us how to use them. Just because I get a brand new car doesn't mean that I know how to drive if I never drove one. Somebody has to teach me. Same thing with the gift. God, show me what gift is in my life, but then also give me the wisdom to drive those gifts. So that can be a benefit to me and to the church and to the body. Father, this is your body, and your wisdom was spread here, there, and everywhere. The day that you gave that Holy Ghost tongue so far. Father, help us to know, just to know what is our place, our position, and help us do that, Father. We know we are not going to fail. You are the source. You and the Spirit of God, not by power, not by mind, but by your Holy Ghost. That's why we rely in the Holy Ghost wisdom. Not in our own merits, efforts, abilities. We have none. It's foolish to trust in our own selves or anybody. We trust you, Lord. We give you our lives afresh. Use them, Lord, for your glory and your honor. We ask you these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I told you I was going to... No, A15 is only 5 after. I told you A15 because my care took 15 minutes. You owe me 15 minutes. What do you want to sing? Oh, okay. That's not your gift. No, wait a minute. Even though he sings, but that's not his gift. You know what I'm saying? And maybe he can sing better than Micaiah. It's not so. I'm just giving you an example. But that gift and that gift find their places and their wisdom to do what they need to do. They're not competing. You see Kenny or Micaiah competing with anybody here? You see me, Andy, competing with Brother Doug? No, we know our position, we know our place, and we have the wisdom from God to do what we need to do. And you need to find your place and your position and your gift. And it won't be a competition. You know why? Because it's God, the multi-wisdom of God in the body, working so we can get whatever we need to get. Okay, you owe me 5 more minutes.